Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning or good afternoon. This is George Gamond, and welcome to the show. Now, I need some help from people in the chat room. If you're in the chat room, do this for me, because I've had a problem with Skype and Blog Talk, and when I log in through Skype, sometimes people can't hear me. This morning I tried, I logged in, then logged off, and then logged back in. So I need to know if you're hearing me this morning. So if you're in the chat room, go, yeah, it's okay, or, yeah, I can't hear you, or it's very faint, I can hardly hear you. Kind of give me an update, because this is, and I guess other hosts have been having the same problem with, so please, chat room, tell me what's going on, Can you hear me, not hear me? And that way, I'll have to log back off Skype and log. Okay, good. So I won't have to log off on Skype again. So what are we going to do today? So in the lead up on the show, I said it's time for more soul readings and also past lives. I love doing past life readings because, not because, oh, you know, you were the Queen of Sheba or you were Alexander the Great or anything like that. It's more about something from your past lives is a little bit of, has some assistance in your life now, or the guiding influence in your life now. And sometimes people in a past life, well, obviously, people in the past life are in your life now. So what is their role or purpose? So then we'll get into that. Okay? We'll do that. Okay. So let me start off the show by saying that I got a couple callers, 7561, I'll be with you in a minute, and 706, I'll be with you next after that. So hang in there. Oh, so yeah, so we'll get into the past life thing and all that. Let me kind of give you a little update of where I'm at this morning, and so we'll go from there. What am I doing? What am I talking about? Oh, yes. Kind of woke up kind of grumpy this morning, like, what the use? Kind of like, what the use kind of attitude? You know, you ever have those mornings, you start off the morning and go, why am I doing any of this anymore, right? So it was a little one. It was a baby one. It wasn't like the monster, I'm going to go in the bathroom and take all the pills kind of morning, but it was more about, okay. So I kind of tuned in the spirit a little bit, just kind of locked in a little bit. And so I came up with a couple things that I posted on Facebook. If you haven't joined me on Facebook, please do, because I post this stuff all the time, and things that come in from spirit, or articles, or things that I find positive. I try to stay positive. I try not to get into the negativity in this world. Okay, I try not to. You know, I have political ideas and thoughts and so forth, but that can get really frustrating, can it? So let me give you a couple mottos that I came up with. Now, if I could influence people in any way in life, just anything that I could say, yeah, I can buy into this. These two things I would say are really, really important. Okay, so my first motto was, another great day to turn our problems over to God and live a day of purpose, passion, and play. Let me read that again. Another great day to turn our problems over to God. How many of us just sit in our problems all day? Oh, I got this problem, I got that problem. Blah, blah, blah. Problems. So the more you think about the problems, the more the problems come. And that's the principle of the law of attraction. The more I think about my problems, the more problems come to me. So it's turning our problems over. Okay, God, this is my problem. Handle it, right? Take care of it. And I'm going to live a day of purpose. I'm going to live my life purpose. I'm going to do what I'm here to do in my life, whatever that is, anything from mother to rocket scientist to president, whatever your purpose is, live it. Passion, live a life of passion, just passionate about life. Feel inspired, enjoy life, just, and then play. Laugh, play, you know, just play. We're not here to be miserable creatures. God never intended us to be miserable creatures. Okay, so it's play. Life should be about play. If you're not playing at whatever you're doing, then you're probably sitting in your problems, right? Okay, so that's my... So if you can use that motto, and if I could influence people to use a motto, to put it on your mirror, wake up every morning and say, another great day to turn our problems over to God, or my problems over to God, and live a day of purpose, passion, and play. And I posted this on Facebook, so... Yeah, that's another good reason to, if you buy into it at all, right? If you buy into it. Okay, the other one was, you know, I've been really reading about this a lot, goals, having goals. So focus on your goals, not your problems, and miracles will happen. Now, let me read that again. If you're focus on your goals, not your problems, miracles will happen. Life is full of miracles, but you got to be focusing on what you want or the goals that you have in your life, those amazing things that you want to accomplish and do and happen in your life, and not your problems. Because I just said, turn your problems over to God. So turn your problems over to God. Focus on your goals or your purpose, what you want to be doing. What's next in your life? What beautiful things do you want to accomplish? So if I could influence people in any particular way, it would be in those two things. Focus on your goals, not your problems, and miracles will happen. Another great day to turn our problems over to God and live a day of purpose, passion, and play. And I would throw laughter in there, too. You know, laughter is like a big part of it. You know, if you're not laughing at life, then you're crying at life. And there's moments for cry. We all need to cry, right? But it should be about fun. It really, life should be about fun. And so many great teachers tell that. You know, if you, I had a great quote from the Dalai Lama. And I wonder what happened to my quote. Let me see if I can find the Dalai Lama quote I shared the other day. Again, this is on Facebook, but I don't know if it's there still, because I really like the Dalai Lama had a great quote. Oh, I'm not going to find it. Okay, never mind. We'll skip the Dalai Lama quote for right now, okay? So let me take the calls. You know what we're doing. You know what my life is about. You know what my purpose is about, is inspiring you to live a life of purpose, passion, and play. Isn't that fun? Yeah. Okay. So where are I going? 561. So let's try that one. Hello? Hello? Oh, wait a minute. It's coming. It's slow. Hello?
Hello? Hi, how are
Hello?
You?
Hello? I'm fine. And who am I speaking to?
This is Lisa from Florida.
Well, hi, Lisa. What's going on today?
Hi. I want to ask you, I got an offer for one job, and now someone else is inquiring, so I'm just thinking of maybe trying one out and then postponing the other one for a few weeks.
So, well, Lisa, let me stop here, because this show is all about today. We're all about purpose, play, and passion. Mm-hmm. So how does that play? So what are you passionate about? What do you want to do? What feels the most passionate to you?
Well, I like to help others.
Okay, so the job that you're looking at, does it do that?
Yes, the other one, the one that I'm trying to postpone for a few weeks so I can see.
Well, then go for it. Absolutely go for it. Okay? Really, go for it.
All right.
Go for it.
Thanks.
Bye. Once again, and back to my motto, which is like, turn your problems over to God. Oops, she went away. Oh, okay. So whatever you're doing, you know, people are dissatisfied with their jobs, but look for something, again, God, I don't like this job, you know, I'm give it to you, I want something that looks like this, this is my goal to get a job like this, this is what I really want to be doing, God, so I'm going to turn this problem over to you, and I'm going to just enjoy life, and I'm going to visualize myself working at this particular job, and let miracles happen. You got to believe in miracles. How many people believe in miracles? Really, seriously, in the chat room, do you believe in miracles? And if you want a past life reading in the chat room, and I can do that, but I really need the month and year that you were actual first, not an avatar, not a guest number, but your actual first name and the year and month that you were born, and then it helps me to kind of tune into you for a past life reading. We can go in that. So I don't know about this thing about the volume, and that's a Blog Talk problem, and I could try some other distance. I didn't go out and buy a different little thing, but okay. So let me take a call. We'll do that. Hello?
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 Hi.
Hi. No, I'm not, but that's okay. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so whom am I speaking to?
My name is Sophia.
Sophia, what's going on with Sophia today?
Nothing. I just want to stick to the program for a soul or past life reading.
Okay, so if you want to, let's try a past life, see what we come up with in soul. Maybe that'll bleed into the other. One will bleed into the other. But I need, no, don't get all like, I don't want to get this. No, nobody knows you here. Okay.
Nah.
What's your year and month of birth?
Year is 1972. Month is November.
Are you Scorpio or Sagittarius?
Sagittarius.
So you're somewhere after the 21st or 22nd or something like that.
Correct.
You're a borderline person, huh?
Yeah, seems so, huh?
You're pretty young, though. Okay, so let me take spirit, take me backwards, and let me go back in time, the Wayback Machine. You ever see Rocky and Bullwinkle with the Wayback Machine, Mr. Peabody?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're gonna go back in the Wayback Machine. We're going to take...
I'm ready.
Takes me to a year that you probably passed in a past life. Now, this is really very common for people that were born or living now, especially unless they're really old like me. No. They were died during World War II. Yeah, because a lot of people died during World War II in various parts of the world, right? Either soldiers or whatever. I do get that. But I get the early part of the war. I get around... You must not have been in the United States. Because it feels like around 1940, okay, that you died. Now, you can tell me if any of this resonates with you or not. And this, I think that really feels this is going to tie into your soul purpose, too, why you're here now. Because it really feels like, are you a warrior at all in your heart and spirit? I mean, a warrior, do you know what I mean by that? Not that you go out and do battles and guns and stuff, but you're a warrior, you're a champion for stuff, right?
Yeah, I could say that.
Okay, because you were. You died in an airplane, okay? England, World War II, just the beginning of the war. For some reason, 1940 really comes in strong, okay? You were shot down. You were shot down. Okay. It wasn't just a regular airplane. It was a bomber. I don't know why I get this, but I do get it. Maybe off on the year, but it still feels like 1940. Yeah, 1940 keeps coming up. Male figure. I could see that little helmet thing, you know, that you wore, and you were in a... It was a bomber, but it... Or it was... Nah, it feels more like a jet fighter than a bomber. You like to fly?
No, it's not a passion of mine, but I do fly when I have to.
Yeah, you're not terrified by it, right?
Oh, no, I'm not terrified. Mm-mm.
Okay, so, yeah, so what happened? Why? So, you're a warrior, shot down, okay? Let me see, because a lot of those people went into the military because they had to go into the military, not because they necessarily wanted to go in the military. So what was your other occupation back then? For that, because you were relatively young, okay? You were in your late 20s or 20s when this happens, okay? I get that you were finishing up or you had just finished up a degree program, like a master's or, no, it was a PhD in something, okay? Like really educated, but you just, you know, you wanted to defend the homeland kind of thing, you know, the England, so... You volunteered. So you're very intelligent. You had a PhD. You wanted to be a professor of art and history. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you had this academic kind of background, but you know, because of your intelligence and flying was no big deal and to you. So you got shut down. Okay. So let's just leave that alone. So what do you take from that in this lifetime? Do you like art at all?
No, I don't dislike it, but, you know.
What is your passion in this life?
My passion in this life is kind of like the prior caller, helping others. It just comes natural, whether it's healing them just with a talk or just my intuition or... I'm always that beacon of light for everybody, seriously. I can make the worst person... feel like gold by the time I finish talking with them. And that makes me feel good. Makes me feel good when I know I've changed them and they're feeling good.
Okay. Well, you already know your passion. Your soul is saying you need to continue to do that. But I'm trying to equate this from a past life. And World War II probably isn't the best past life to kind of equate that, because you, even though you were very intelligent and you liked art and history and you liked sharing, but if I go back further in past lives, now you were never a doctor in the sense of the word doctor, but you were, I do get the word healer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you healed a lot with natural ingredients. And this is probably in the 60s or 1700s, okay? One healer, do you like Europe? Have you ever been to Europe?
No.
No, you got to go someday. Because this is,
okay.
This is France, okay?
Okay.
You know, I do get this once in a while by people, but it feels like in that lifetime what you did was you, not a regular doctor, but you prescribed certain things for people to heal them. Like, you know, you put this herb together with that herb, and you do this and you do that, you're going to feel better kind of thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You had your little kitchen going. and you had all these little herbs and things hanging everywhere, and you would put this together. You just had this natural ability to put things together, and people, oh, my stomach's been bothering me, take this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the healing part I get for you. That's where the healing comes from. And this past life is really, really a healer. Okay? You know? Church didn't like you. The priest didn't like you. The priest would bug you a lot because, you know, but you were good, because you were, you covered up well, but some people thought you were a witch, but people knew better, okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, yeah, you naturally come by this energy. You naturally come by this energy. Now, in current times, it's really difficult to tell people to go out and put a bunch of herbs together and heal people. You can get in a lot of trouble for that. You're prescribing medicine, you're creating it, and you're not part of big pharma, and they'll get you, right?
Correct.
But you are a healer, and you've had that history of healer. And then, and I do get the 1700s was a big one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the 1800s, and I'm not sure the exact dates of this, so let me just give you this. The 1800s, it feels more like the South, the southern part of the United States, okay? And you carried forward this energy, but you were a slave, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you did basically the same thing. You were a mother, but you helped people in your community, and I hear it as even white people would come to you for help, okay? Because you had that same
mm-hmm.
knack of putting stuff together, of taking roots and herbs and stuff and helping people. So you've had that history of helping people. But this is in the South. I'm feeling South Carolina. I don't know where you live now, but I'm feeling South Carolina. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you did that. You in your spare time when you weren't... Oh, because you were a cook, too. Do you like to cook?
I do.
Yeah, because it feels like you're...
I don't like to bake, but I like to cook. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were like in the kitchen, you know, a slave, but you worked in the kitchen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that gave you the excuse of doing these other things for healing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You could be playing with your herbs and your roots and stuff while you're making meals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it's like I'm getting off on this one. This is fun. Because I'm really feeling that you made broth, like, you know, like a chicken broth or some kind of broth or some kind of stews or something that put a lot of healing energy into it, food-wise.
Oh, wow.
Like herbs and stuff that you would add to meals that had a lot of healing things, okay? Oh, my stomach's bothered. Well, eat this, you know, eat this. And it's like, you know, even little things that you would, you know, somebody cut themselves or they'd wound themselves and you would create this thing with a cloth and you would put this chemicals or, you know, herbs and stuff on it or use, I hear it as mud pies. put it on the skin and it would help the healing, okay? Wrap it around the skin and it would heal people. Mud pies. So that's what I get. Yeah, it's a you're a natural healer. I just see this beautiful picture of this lady who just was very vibrant. Even though, you know, she was a slave, but she worked in the kitchen and in her, people would come to her for, oh, yeah, this is bothering me. What should I do? I got a headache. Oh, eat this. You know, eat this.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So it comes back.
Okay.
I guess the lesson from this is you're on point. Just expand how you heal people. Be open to new possibilities. Okay?
I sure will. Thank you very much, dear.
You're welcome. You take care.
Bye-bye. You too.
Bye. That was really cool. I love these pictures I get. Spirit shows me this picture. I've been doing this for long enough that I know it's not me, and I'm not just watching a movie that I saw a while back. No, it's something new. So I got Sandra, was born in 1963. Oops. Uh-oh, I just admitted your age. September. Let's see. September. What are you? Are you a Libra or Virgo, if I get those correctly? I always get those two mixed up. Feels like a Libra. Are you a Libra? Or probably a Virgo. She's going, oh, I don't know what I am. Let me look on the chart. Let me figure this one out, right? Ah, Virgo. Okay, yeah. I had a feeling it was a Virgo. Okay, so a good Virgo. When was your past life? You know what? This is funny. What I get about you, Sandra, is that you weren't too excited about coming back. Yeah, you're kind of enjoying the other side, the non-physical world. You were having too much fun in the non-physical world. And you were, like, not excited about coming back into a physical form. You were just playing, having a lot of great time. You're working on new planets. This is really weird stuff, but I get this. Working on new planets, you know, out there in the creative mode. You're a very creative person, aren't you? Because you just love the creating things. Okay, let's create these new plants, and let's create these new animals, and we're going to create a new planet. Okay, so that's what I get for you. But you did. You had prior lives. You didn't spend every, you know, whatever. So when did you die? Just prior to World War One. Just prior to World War One, so it'd be. No, I wasn't. I keep can't 19. I keep wanting to. My ego goes, oh, she was on the Titanic. Well, you got to be more creative, okay? You got to be more creative. See, you influenced me with your job, but prior to war. Around 1912, but you weren't on the Titanic, because I got it out of my brain. No Titanic. You were not on the Titanic. No, absolutely not. So I don't know if you even thought about that. But you had, see, I think what it was, the way I'm getting boats, because you were a harbor master, or you worked on the docks, but you were like, because I see like a tablet, or not like a tablet, like a paper, or forms or something that you had to do with being on the docks, like a harbor master or, you know, like, not customs, but if you know what I'm talking about, as a person who kind of scheduled things, okay? You're a scheduler, harbor master for boats coming in and out of the harbor in England. You're in England. You're not in the United States. No, England, because it feels very English. Very English. And a male, okay? Male energy. So you did that most of your life. Yeah, you died. You were old, very much old. You know, Sandra, you're missing out on something in life, because I'm really feeling your soul and from your past life that you really want to do something more creative now. You did all that stuff. You did all that formal stuff, you know, and control, you know, yeah, organizational stuff. You did that. Now it's time for you to branch out and have some fun, okay? And even if it's an avocation set versus a vocation, it's really time for you to do something creative in your life. Absolutely, positively, because you did all that stuff. You kind of, you know, you worked till you're like in your 70s. You were really old, but you were really good back then. But you got, you know, it's like you came into this lifetime with this whole idea that at some point I'm going to not do this anymore. I'm going to start doing something very creative and more imaginative and live more of a passion-filled life. But you carry forward that ability to organize things. Really. You really organize. You kept that dock running. The ship's coming in, going out. You know, everybody's here, everybody's going. So, yeah, you did that. How fun is that? So that's you, Sandra, in a nutshell. So find some way to express that other part of your soul that really wants to get out there and do something creative. Okay? If that resonates with you. If it doesn't, just keep doing what you're doing because you do a great job of it. Okay? So what am I doing next? Oh, okay. So anybody else, past lives, soul reading, just, you know, real first name, if you want a past life, give me a month and year that you were born. If not, just your first name and year if you want to do just soul type reading. And I'll get into some articles. What was I going to read for you? Yeah, some things about inspiring you to be the best person that you can possibly be. Great. Bree. Okay. I got an article. I think this is kind of fun. So we're going to have some fun. And it's three types of voluntary stress that can actually be good for your body. Now, everybody's saying, don't have stress. You don't need stress. Too much stress. Too much stress. Too much stress. And this is an article about, this is from the Today Show, the health desk of the Today Show. Now, if you want interesting articles, you can find the Today Show, you know, the NBC thing, because they post articles and they post some of the shows that they've had in little excerpts of the shows. But this is about health, and it's kind of fun, and they have things about pop culture, food, health. They're not paying me to say this, right? They're not paying me to say this. So the story is about Todd Baker starts each morning with a ritual that would literally take most people's breath away, a bone-chilling cold shower. Now, they say that cold showers are really good for you, hot and cold, but okay. So a bone-chilling cold shower, that'll put stress on you, right? He usually skips breakfast. Lunch is often optional, too. In fact, he regularly eats just one meal a day. When it comes to exercise, he likes it intense and done on an empty stomach. I found this really interesting, this man. How many people can do this, okay? But he loves the stress of it all. You might call it a miserable way to live, but Becker says it makes him feel great. He believes adding controlled amounts of voluntary stress to his daily routine makes his body and mind stronger, boosting every aspect of his health. Now, I'm not saying this is true or not true, but I'm just giving, passing this on, and I just found this really kind of fascinating, entertaining, and wow, yeah, like whoa. Most people think of stress as something to be avoided. Becker, who lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, that explains a lot, right? San Francisco, okay. But he stated, but I kind of turn the whole thing on its head. I take a contrary view of this. We evolved to tolerate and handle stress, which we have. I agree. So my whole focus on how do you build the capacity to become a more stress tolerant. That's a good word, stress tolerant. There's a picture of him. He looks happy. He's a rock climber. Okay, that's stressful in itself. He's not... Yeah, with the carabiners and the rope and blah, 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 going up the side of a mountain. Okay. By carefully challenging his body, Becker is hoping to harness the power of its defense and repair mechanisms. He likens his philosophy to vaccination. You become more resilient by exposing yourself to small amounts of something that might be harmful in large doses. Okay. The reward for his lifestyle, Becker, 58, said, is boundless energy and resilience. Now, how many of you take cold showers in the morning and only eat one meal a day? I have a friend off the track here a little bit. He's a bit of a warrior. He's done martial arts training and, you know, like fighting, like in the fighting that they do with the wrestling and the boxing and all that. USU Ultimate Fighting. Okay, he did some of that. Went on what he called the gladiator diet. You only eat once a day, are when you're really, really hungry and you really scarf food down. You eat like a gladiator or a warrior. You know, you don't eat a lot of meals and you don't eat between meals too much because you don't have the time and you're battling and fighting. So that you'll eat that one big meal and you scarf it all down and then you go on. And he believes in it. This is a little bit like Becker here. He says that warrior kind of eating pattern. And most of us kind of go, what? One meal a day and you eat everything, right? And drink the mead, if you know what mead is. I like challenges and stressful situations because they energize me, he noted. I consider myself an extremely happy person. I'm just always up. I am never down. I really attribute to a lot of these practices. Indeed, there's evidence that short-term stress may offer some benefits as the body releases hormones that stimulate us, give us a boost of energy, and sharpen our senses. Research from Duke University found that moderate stress improves memory and learning and can spur our bodies to adapt. A recent study by Stanford University School of Medicine researcher discovered that short-term stress can boost the immune system in animals. Well, they didn't say humans, but they said animals. A little stress can be positive, improve mental focus and energy. You know, you ever got that? It's 10 o'clock and you got a big exam tomorrow, or you got a presentation tomorrow, and you really aren't prepared because you've been watching your favorite movies or TV shows, and you know at 10 o'clock you've got something, you've got to present it in the morning or take a test in the morning, and that's stress, right? But that can be positive. It can get you to focus a little bit on what you need to study and prepare, right? So if you're a last-minute, get-her-done last-minute kind of person, they're saying it's not a bad stress. A sense of awareness coming from increased arousal, said Today Health and Nutrition Editor. This is the contrast to chronic stress, constant physical and mental stress, which weakens havoc on the body and has biological symptoms, including cellular inflammation. Okay. So that stress about worry and my problems, you know, it's like, okay, the worries and problems, right? So what I just told you earlier today is, you got a problem, turn it to God and go have some fun. If you're going to have stress, build a little stress up, have some fun. You know, make the stress about something you're going to have that's fun. Like gentlemen climbing rocks, right? Do something that you're passionate about. And if your stress is going to be an area of passion, fun, purpose in life, let your stress be there and not your problems. Because those you're giving to God. Okay, that's my take on this. Becker swears by those short bursts of voluntary stress he incorporates in his life, but they may not be for everyone. Cold showers, Becker began this ritual 10 years ago, likens to the natural antidepressant. Yeah, I'd wake you up, right? It's hard to stay depressed when you're like shivering. When you get out, just you feel the sense of freshness and exhilaration, ready to take on the day. For me, it lasts all day. Mike Tipton, a professor of human and applied psychology at the University of Pittsburgh, who studies how the body responds to adverse environments, said cold water produces a sudden fall in skin temperature that promotes our body's shock response. No kidding. This activates stress hormones, particularly the certain ones that I'm blah 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 blah. I'm not going to try to pronounce this morning, which make people feel alert and accelerated, Tipton said. By evidence of benefits from repeated cold water immersion is mixed and weak and inconclusive, he said. So, yeah, maybe it works. Cold shock response can cause a sudden increase in blood pressure. So if you got high blood pressure, yeah, I wouldn't go there because they're saying what he's saying, which is can be dangerous for people with pre-existing hypertension, heart disease, or other illnesses. So I would be careful running into the cold showers if you have any kind of, you know, problems like that. That might just kind of lead to the stroke, stumbling out of the shower, falling on the floor stuff. Yeah, you don't want to go there, right? Intermediate fasting. Becker regularly goes more than 12 hours without eating, though he doesn't restrict his calories. His main interest is spacing out meals and reducing his exposure to glucose and fats for long periods of time. He usually eats dinner, but often skips breakfast and lunch. Okay. Depending on the duration of food restriction, the fuel used, which when fat is burned, can impact the brain and create a sense of well-being. Many people on high-fat, high-carb-restricted diets report this feeling. This is quoting a certain doctor. Always check with your doctor first if you're interested in fasting. A 24-hour fast is the limit for healthy people because it's when protein starts being broken down. Staying hydrated is a must. You ever done a 24-hour fast or 48-hour fast? I've done it. It's interesting. Okay. It does cause a little bit of an exhilaration, but yeah, but then the hunger pains come up, you know, the appetite, you know, the brain going, I want my sugar, I want my sugar, right? Okay. Becker continues fasting with intermediate bursts of exercise. His philosophy does it less regularly and more intensively. Becker particularly likes rock climbing, running, and cycling. Studies have found that high-intensity workouts have lots of benefits. They can help protect you from diabetes, boost heart health, and yield better fitness results. Also, check with your doctor before you start. That's kind of the logical thing to do. I thought that was all kind of fascinating. If you could do that, wouldn't that be interesting? But high-intensity exercise. Now, first of all, go to your doctor. You know, really get your blood pressure and your heart checked and make sure. And if you're going to get into high-intensity exercises, you might want to do, and I forget the name of it, an interval training to start with. It's a running for a short period of time, okay? Running, just intense running, then a jog, then a walk, then a run. A run, jog, walk. Run, jog, walk. Now, check with your doctor, but that's really good for you. That is really good for you if you can do that sort of thing. And you're not running very far. You're not like running a marathon. You're running a few blocks or a block or two. You build up to it. You run, you know, let's say it's even 50 feet. You'll sprint 50 feet, jog for another whatever period of time. It's usually like 30 seconds, and then you walk for a couple minutes. And then you do the run, and then you do the jog, and then you do the walk again. So that's a high-intensity workout that's really good for the body. Actually, it's recommended in the Army. Who studies all this stuff, really? So, welcome to the chat room. And it is people who have just kind of tuned in. And I'm talking about, well, my inspiration today is this whole motto of turning your problems over to God. Go live a life that's full of purpose, passion, and play. And giving a, see if I could, you know, as I said before, if I could just encourage people just to do one thing in their lives, just live by one motto, paste it on the mirror, is that I'm going to turn my problems over to God today, and I'm going to live a day of purpose, passion, and play. And I've been doing some past life readings. If you want a past life reading and you're in the chat room, just need it. Your real first name, month and year of your birth, and we can do that. You don't have to come online, but if somebody wants to talk to me, I will do that, and we'll be back. I have some other articles. That was really fascinating. You might fast for 24 hours or 48 hours. Anybody do the ultimate fast with the cayenne pepper, organic maple syrup, and is it lemon juice? Lemon juice, cayenne pepper, and all that. Anybody do that one? That's quite a... Okay, let me take a call, and we'll get back to all this fun stuff. We're having some fun, I think. At least I am. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Hello. So the grumpies have gone away. The grumpies have gone away. Okay, so who am I speaking to?
This is Sandy.
Sandy, what's going on? Didn't I fix you? Aren't you fixed by now?
Yeah, you spoke to me several times, and I just enjoy listening to what you have to say.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I still would like to know, you know, on this past life thing, what in the world is going on with past life and me and my parents?
Well, didn't we just talk about, didn't we just do the chat room thing on that?
No, I'm not in the chat room.
Oh, okay, so you're another Sandy. Okay, I got another Sandy. So I got a bunch of Sandras and Sandys. Okay, so what's your date of birth? 6/24/52. Ah, you got Cancer, huh? Yeah. Whoa. No,
yeah.
I'm kidding. I know. The lady in the chat room is going different, Sandy. Yeah. Okay. So 6/24. Okay. So when did you pass? 1930s. So what are you doing now for a living, Sandy?
I'm retired. I'm doing what? Yeah. I'm getting ready to do my artistry and stuff like that.
Okay. Good. So I said early 30s, right? 1930s. 35, around 1935 is when you passed, okay? Where were you? I get Germany. Okay?
Oh.
I get Germany. I get, concentration camp, okay? I get gypsy. Not Jewish. Could have been Jewish gypsy, but you're gypsy, okay?
Really?
Very, very much a free spirit. You're a free spirit now, too, aren't you?
Trying to be.
Well, you are. So, I'm not telling you what you are. I'm telling you, you're a free spirit. No, believe me. No, I get free spirit, gypsy,
yeah.
Card reader, okay? But you did something else, too, that was really cool, you know, because there is an equation about very creative. And back then, as you made something, it feels like with cloth, like you weaved or you did crocheting or you did something like that, that you made these beautiful shawls, okay? They're very intricate designs of your own, okay? Because I see these beautiful, like, cloth. It could be shawls or it could be just even, like, maybe even a little thing that you put up on the wall. But they had this beautiful design, and you used a lot of pictures of nature in it, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't know what you want to do now creatively, but that's what I get. It's working with cloth. And you just did these beautiful things, and you would sell them, or you'd keep them, or you'd give them away. But, yeah, I get the word doilies. You know what a doily is? The little things that you put down, like a coaster kind of thing. You did something like that. But they were very beautiful in color. They weren't plain white, you know. You put a lot of color into it. Okay?
Yeah.
But you weren't young when you died. I mean, you weren't like in your 20s or 30s. You were pretty old. You kept moving around. The Nazis didn't get to you till you were in your 60s. Okay?
Yeah.
So maybe you need to finish now what you left off doing then. Okay?
Huh, yeah.
Because you're about the same age as when you passed in that life. So you never completed some of the projects that you were working on. Aha! So it's time to finish those projects, dear. Okay?
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, you know, how my mom and dad figure into my past life.
Question. Me in that particular past life? Let's see. One was an older brother. One was not a parent. One was an older brother in that life, okay? But he was a guardian older brother. You know, there was like maybe a 10-year difference, okay?
Yeah.
And he died before you did. Way before you did. Because he was older. He was like a guardian. Especially when you were young, okay?
Yeah.
And he died of natural causes. So he was probably, you were like maybe 20, and he was like 30 when he died, okay? When was he born?
My dad?
Yeah.
He'll be 90 this year.
Okay. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, he died around 1900. Back then. But he was your guardian older brother, but he died of natural causes. Something happened to him. Okay, so he was an older brother. I think there was, it feels more like a 15-year difference, but so he was like a father figure but a brother. Okay.
Yeah.
Mother was a grandmother. grandmother was a grandmother in the past life, okay?
Yeah.
And she taught you all you needed to know about, I call fortune telling, but also more about weaving and working with cloth and things like that. She was like your instructor, okay? She took you and at an early age taught you all this stuff, how to do it. Wasn't your mother. I don't know if your mother is in your lifetime now. You have a daughter.
Yeah, she is. Huh?
You have a daughter.
Both of them are alive. I don't have any children.
You don't have any children. That's weird, but your grandmother's not. Is your grandmother alive? No, she wouldn't be alive. Is she?
My mother and my father are alive. They're 87 and 89.
No, but your grandmother's not alive. And she was your grandmother was your instructor in a past life, okay? But it feels like your mother in this life is another woman, a younger woman, okay? A younger woman.
Oh.
Oh, she's alive. She's alive. No, your grandmother in this lifetime is a younger woman, and I don't identify. It's not a daughter. It's somebody who has that kind of younger woman feel to you, okay? I don't know who that is. Do you have a niece or nephew?
Well, what is the animosity my mother has towards me?
That's a good. I don't think that has anything to do with past lives. Okay, it has nothing to do with past lives. I don't get that.
Okay.
And I can only take another minute because I got another couple of people asking questions in the chat room about the same sort of thing. But it feels like I really do get. She's jealous of you for some reason.
Yeah.
Are you an only child?
No, I've got two brothers. One died, and I don't know. You know, he died back when I was 30.
Yeah.
So that's been 32 years ago.
Yeah. But you lived, and your brother died.
Yeah.
And it feels like now you have to kind of go into your soul and kind of identify this, but it feels like there's a certain amount of, I want to be careful with this because I don't want to lead you down to a strange road here, but it feels like your mother is resentful of you because you lived and your brother didn't. Okay?
Huh. Yeah.
It feels
I could say that.
There's a certain amount of animosity here or jealousy or resentfulness or something about you living and your brother not, and she had to, in some way, spend too much attention to you, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I
think. Okay,
You think about that. I got some other things I have, other people that have questions, but that's what I kind of get, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Take care. I will mention here, if anybody's interested, I do this, and I do soul readings, and if you're interested in more of an extensive soul reading, you can contact me through my blog, Talk Radio page, or my website. There's a special that I offer on the website for a brief reading, you know, because it's an individual thing, so you can go there and find that out. So, my friend Kathleen, right? 1948, May 8th. Ooh, May 8th, you're a good Taurus. So you want a past life thing on that. Okay, 1948, past life. I'm getting around 1900 is when you passed, okay? And I'm also hearing not a lot of trauma, long life, mother, great-grandmother, all that stuff, live to your 80s. Okay, around 1900, you lived a healthy life, but I don't get anything like, whoa, you lived a good life. You loved children. I don't know if you do now, but you loved children. You had this family thing. Where did you live? Northeast. The northeast part of the United States was what I hear. Northeast. So that would be New England kind of thing, okay? New England. I'm not getting a specific state, but New England, Northeast, lived a long time, great-grandmother, lots of children. Husband died probably left you as a widow, probably in your 60s, late 50s, early 60s, but you carried on with family. And I hear great cook, great cook, great cook. People came to you because you didn't own a restaurant, but people came to you all the time. People loved your cooking. You know, you get all these people coming to you for food, okay? How fun is that? So, is there a lesson here or something? You're just carrying on your tradition. You like to cook now? I'm hearing as, yeah, you love that life so much that you needed a little respite before you came into this lifetime, but you wanted to kind of repeat it a bit, okay? Especially that family, children, cooking, okay? So you make very traditional meals, don't you? Kind of traditional meals. That's what I get. I don't know why I get that hearty, traditional kind of meals. You're a little healthier, but yeah. I just hear use a little more spice, a little more herbs and spice in your cooking. Just dash it up a little bit, a little more excitement in your food. Okay? I think that's one thing you didn't get to do. Aha! So I'm going to leave you with that. But yeah, you're just here to fulfill, do the same thing, kind of repeat performance because you loved it so much. So don't feel like weird. Okay. A lot of people want to know past life stuff. And I got to be really brief here because I only have a few more minutes left in the show. And my friend Tanika, right? Tanika, is that how you pronounce it? Tanika? 78. When did you die? Early 60s. 61. Nico, where are you? You lived. I get the word Spain around you a lot. Spain. You lived in Spain. Okay. 61 Spain. You were a fun person. You were a lot of fun, woman. A lot of fun back then. Nick was a lot of problems for you back then, okay? Nick was a lot of problems for you. But you were a lot of fun. I'm getting this image of dying relatively young, okay? Relatively young, probably in your early 30s, after a night of just way too much fun, okay? Way too much fun, and there was an accident. So maybe you're a little more sober in this lifetime. Sober, not in just alcohol sober, but sober and as a person. Okay? Nick pushed you to the limits. Pushed you to the limits. He was more of a friend than a lover, but you were good friends. He was a cohort, like what do they call it, partner in crime kind of thing in that lifetime. You probably died together. That's what it feels like, an accident of some kind. Okay? After a night of carousal and fun and playing. And yeah, that's what I get. Now, that doesn't resonate with you. Okay, so you're supposed to carry on with him in this lifetime. I'm not saying romantic. I'm not going to go to the romantic. It could be there, but it feels like a partner in crime kind of person in your life. Okay? But I would be careful. I think this lifetime is a little bit more about just a little bit more about more of a somber life together versus just being crazy. Because you just had so much. You'd like to dance and flamingo dance back then and, you know, a little bit too much wine and whatever the other liqueur that you were drinking. So I'm almost out of time. I have one caller. So that's kind of the answer I get about a past life. So it was in Spain, though. It wasn't the United States. Let me take a quick call. And then we'll wrap it up, and I'll be back tomorrow. And I, once again, if you want a more extensive reading, you have to contact me through my Blog Talk Radio page or Facebook or my website, and I have a reasonable rate for people who want a brief reading. Okay? So encourage that. Okay. So let me take one quick call. Hello. One quick call. It's a quick call. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Tanika. It's Tanika. I couldn't hear anymore from in the chat room because the sound went off. So I was trying to listen to the rest of what you had to say.
Oh, I was saying about that live. Did you get the idea of Spain?
Yeah.
And you had a fun life. You died young. You and Nick were just party animals. Okay? It feels like a car accident of some kind, okay?
That's scary.
But this life is to be a little bit more somber, okay? A little more somber. A little less wild and crazy, you know, not partying and dancing to 3 o'clock in the morning every night, okay?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But he's still a partner in crime. You got a lot of stuff to complete together, okay?
Yeah.
You still got some things to do in this lifetime.
I feel that he's a soulmate. I mean,
because you both kind of checked out a little early because of the lifestyle. Okay?
Yeah.
So have some fun. But keep it in check, right? You still like
yeah,
to
I
have
do
fun.
That.
You still like
I do
to
like
have
to
fun.
Have, I do.
Yeah.
I have a lot of fun. I just try to
you
balance
like
it. Like,
yeah.
Get
you
crazy
like to
and
dance.
Pull it back.
Yeah,
I do.
Well, that's, you learned that lesson. Dancing and all that stuff, too, right?
Yeah.
So continue to do that, but now you've put little reins in. You've reined yourself in a little bit in this lifetime because you don't want to create to an early demise because of being crazy. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
But he is a partner in crime, okay? I use that expression in a loving way, okay?
It is. I mean, right now we're not together talking, but I feel like it's not over. I feel like he's going to come back. I feel like our life...
Oh, yeah, you still have adventures to do, okay?
Yeah.
You still have a trip to take together, okay?
Yeah. So do you think that it involves, like, children and marriage?
I'm not going to go there. I'm going to leave it alone. Just adventure. Adventure. It could be all that, but it's more about just enjoy each other's company, and you just need to finish that in this lifetime. Okay?
Yeah. And also, I'm about to have a brain operation, and I'm in my early 30s, and I'm really scared of that. Like, should I look out for that? Like, should I not do that because of what you just said? Because I'm really scared.
Oh, no. Stop. I I'm not going to get into that medical thing, whether you should or shouldn't, because you've talked to your doctors. They've reassured you that the percentages are really strong in favor of recovery, right?
You see everything. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So you just need to have trust that they know what they're doing.
Okay.
Now, can I see the other end of it? Do I see you in a year from now? A year from now, I still see you partying, okay? Having fun.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, that's...
I don't see you in some wheelchair drooling on yourself, no. Okay?
Okay, good. Yeah.
There might be some recovery time, but you'll be back to full functioning, okay?
Okay.
That's what I get. Hopefully I'm right, but that's what it feels like.
Good. That's what I'm afraid of. I want to be able to run and dance and have fun still.
Trust your doctors, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'll let you go. I'm running out of time here, but yeah. So I'm not going to try to discourage you at all. I just see you in the future doing what you want to be able to do, okay?
Yes, thank you. I love him and I love life, and I just want us to like live life strong and have a good life together.
Well, that just continue to visualize that. It's going to happen. Okay, take care.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
So I got about a minute left. I'm going to leave you where I started the whole show and where I got with my motto for the day. Motto for every day. And you write this down somewhere. The motto for the day is every day turn your problems over to God. Turn all your problems over to God and live a life of purpose, passion, and play. We're here to have fun. We're here to enjoy our lives. We're here to live our purposes. We're here to do what we're here to do, and it's not to sit in our problems. So give the problems to God. Okay, God, I got a problem. You take care of it. I'm going to go have some fun. I'm going to go do something that feels right, my purpose in life. Do that. So contact me if you want an extensive reading. afternoon, go to my Blog Talk Radio page or my website. It's listed on the Blog Talk thing. And I will be back tomorrow, and I don't know what we're doing. I have no idea what we're going to do tomorrow. Have a beautiful one. It's been fun. Thank you very much. Love you guys. Bye. Love you people in the chat room.